You're listening to Greater LA, KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. How are you doing today? I'm Steve Chiotakis. Did you spend any time outside over the weekend? Maybe fly a kite? Bring the surfboard down to the beach? Have a picnic? If you were out there, I bet it felt great, didn't it?
This is like the only part of my day that feels normal.
That's Leanne Solano. She went for a hike in Griffith Park with her friend Greg Gorentz.
And then I get home and it's like you're kind of hit with like, ugh.
I just wanted to
move. What's going on?
I've been like sitting in my apartment not moving for like days. So when she was like, you want to go for a hike a couple days ago, I was like, yeah, let's do that hike. And then I felt so good from it. I was like, oh. When I woke up, I was like, oh, to move and to be outside and to that it still feels like safe and normal.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel, I don't feel threatened or anything being outside. And I'm like, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, as long as quarantine is going on.
As long as we can.
As long as we're shut in, we might as well do this as often as we can.
Yeah.
Maybe you're feeling shut in by the COVID-19 quarantine. And L.A. is looking so lovely right now with the first day of spring and the rain washing away bad air. Angelinos basically ran for the hills and for the beaches, and that is a problem.
This weekend, we saw images of too many people crowding beaches or canyons beyond their capacity. Too many people, too close together, too often. The longer we do that, the more people will get sick and the more people will die.
Well, now L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti and Santa Monica city officials have closed the beach parking lots in Venice and Santa Monica. The Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority closed the Santa Monica Mountains, the Verdugo Mountains, and big swaths of the Santa Susana and San Gabriels, too. We are social beasts, of course, and are not accustomed to social distancing, at least as an order from on high. But going out and enjoying nature also happens to be a great way to de-stress, maybe even improve the natural immune system. And you can do it solo. Or if you're going to do it with others, make sure you're doing it at a safe distance from them. Lila Higgins is Senior Manager for Community Science at the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County. She's also the co-author of the book Wild LA. Hi, Lila.
Hi, Steve.
A lot of folks were out over the weekend at popular places like Griffith Park and Runyon Canyon and the beaches of Santa Monica and all these other places, some of those places being closed now. Should we talk about a couple of places that you might not be so familiar with where people can get out and enjoy nature?
Yeah, I have been staying with my mother, and I've been walking around the neighborhood with her since we live in the house together. We don't have to have that 6 feet of social distance between us because, again, we're living together in the house. But if you go outside, please try to make sure you keep that 6 feet apart from anyone who's not in your household. And your neighborhoods, the plants and animals that live around our neighborhoods, are great places for us to explore right now, especially after the rains.
You wrote about 25 field trips in your book, Wild LA. Talk about some of them.
So we have 3 different field trips along the river, which I think some of them may actually still be open, but it's touch and go. Things are changing every day. I think MRCA recently closed down a lot of their trails, and I think they closed the section of the LA River called the LA River Greenway. So that's unfortunately closed, and that's where one of our field trips was. So it is hard to find places where we can be outside right now and be socially distanced with each other. But what is good news is that I know that the LA County Parks and Recreation, they still have their county parks open. And they have 7 natural areas, which are all throughout the county, that are places that have even more wildlife and even more nature. It's less of the kind of park with some trees and grass, which are beautiful places to get to be outside still right now. But the natural areas are a little bit more wild. And the newest one being Stoneview Nature Center in the Blair Hills area, that one actually links up to the park to Playa Trail. I do want to make sure everyone thinks very carefully about being on narrow trails right now. It is hard to keep that 6 foot social distance. And we also want to protect the plants and animals along the edges of the trail. So we don't want people going off trail. But the park at Stoneview Nature Center has a circular kind of pathway. And so they're actually, I just spoke with the superintendent there, Richard Smart, who used to work at the museum with me. And they're looking at ways that they can have people kind of go in a clockwise route around the park. So then you don't have to worry about getting too close to people and you can maintain that 6 feet social distance.
We've been seeing on social media a lot of people who are even exploring their own neighborhoods, right? Going just for walks along the sidewalk, trying to keep apart from other people. I mean, that's what a lot of folks are doing as well.
Yeah, so I'm a huge walker. Growing up in England, I love walking. It's one of, like, British pastimes. So I always walk in my neighborhood in Larchmont in L.A. where I live. But right now I'm in San Bernardino County, right over the border, in a little town called Upland. I'm here with my mother. And we go for walks all the time every time I'm home. And now because of COVID-19, we've been seeing way more people out and about for walks. We can cross over to the other side of the street if we see a group of people coming, especially if they're elderly or if they have small children, it's harder for them to move. We are more able, so we try to get out of their way so we can have that maintain that 6 feet. And there's some beautiful street trees where I am. There's oaks along the street here. And because it's been raining, there have been some amazing things that we've been finding. We've been finding mushrooms. We've been finding slime molds. We've been finding snails and slugs, stranded worms, things that we don't usually get to see. And it's really nice distraction from all of the stress that we're feeling around this COVID-19 pandemic. It's really nice to be able to kind of sit and look at a mushroom and not have to worry about how close you're getting because the mushroom isn't going to get coronavirus and it's not going to pass coronavirus to me. And so that's something I'm taking personal solace in and encourage everyone as much as they can to get outside.
Personal solace, I mean, I think is beneficial in many ways when you're feeling good or at least better, calmer about a situation that's really tenuous for a lot of folks. So what are the health benefits of going outside, just of seeing nature?
So there are a lot of benefits that have been shown in research, but when we go outside, I urge you all to go outside and see how you're feeling compared to when you're scrolling through the news or having a conversation with someone about the trials and tribulations your family or extended family may be going through. Go out and spend some time in nature, breathe deeply, look at the trees, look at the plants and animals, and you'll notice that difference in feeling. So that's, I just want to urge everyone to do that. But the research shows that it decreases cortisol levels, which is sometimes known as stress hormones. It can decrease your blood pressure. It can decrease your heart rate. When we're outside and in the sunlight, that exposes us to vitamin D. And vitamin D really helps to keep our immune system running healthily. So that's obviously something we need to do right now. And then when we're out and about around a lot of plants and trees, they release what's called phytochemicals, basically phyto meaning plant and chemicals are chemicals. So these chemicals that the plants release when we breathe them in, they have been shown to be health boosters for our immune system as well. And there's a lot of this research has been done. And they've even shown that if you can't go outside, if you are a person who's really at risk and you can only kind of look out of a window, or if you don't have an area where you feel safe going outside, even by just looking out of a window and even looking at pictures of nature virtually, digital, those have been shown in research to also help us feel calmer and help us to be more healthy and overall feelings of well-being.
This anxious time too shall pass, Lila Higgins, and getting outside as far away from the next person as possible, I think does a lot of good. And I want to thank you for sharing the experience with us. Lila Higgins, Senior Manager for Community Science at the Natural History Museum of LA County and co-author of the book, Wild LA. You can check that out as well. Lila, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
You're back now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis. LA's public schools closed last Monday, and parents were initially told that closure would last a total of about 2 weeks to the end of this week. But Los Angeles School Superintendent Austin Buettner announced this morning the closure is going to last even longer, until May 1st. The shift now for the hundreds of thousands of students in the nation's second largest school system is to internet learning, from classroom to living room, from teacher's voice to online syllabus. Well, last week, we talked with Christy Collette. She's a third grade teacher at Newcastle Elementary School in Reseda. She joins us again now for an update on how her and her class are doing. Hi, Christy.
Hi.
We're also joined by Hazel Kite Witham. She teaches English at Venice High School. Hi, Hazel.
Hi, Steve.
Christy, I'm going to start with you because, you know, we talked to you last week to see how you were doing. This was all being implemented sort of in real time. You've had a few days to adapt. How's it going?
It's going a little slowly, but we're all working on it.
You are. So slowly you're doing this online. Are you communicating with students online? Is it through email? Is it through a special program?
Mostly I'm using an app called Class Dojo. It's what I've always used. So that's something the parents are familiar with. We're also using Google Classroom and Zoom for, meetings.
So when you're having meetings with your fellow teachers, with administrators at the school, or even at the school district, that's how you're doing it, through Zoom.
Right.
You felt the challenge would be for students who didn't have access to the internet. What kind of response have you been getting from students and families so far?
I've been, through Class Dojo, I have been able to get in touch with all but seven of my kids. Through Google Classroom, I've only had responses from five of my students.
So five of those students who didn't have internet access?
No, I have heard from a total of five. About a third of my class, so seven or eight kids, did not have a computer at home or internet access.
What kinds of assignments are you posting? I mean, can you gauge how much learning the students are being able to get with these online programs?
What I've put online up until this point has really just been simple assignments to sort of get the program going, just to see who's able to get on, that they're able to respond to me. So I haven't put anything up that I intend on grading, but by the end of this week, that should all be up and running.
Hey, Hazel, what kind of percentage have you been getting on Google Learning or on your online curriculum?
Yeah, I was just doing the math and looking just at my 10th grade groups. I have about 100 10th graders for English language arts, and I have connected with about 25 via Zoom. I hold Zoom office hours, and I'm now actually taking Zoom to voice conferencing only. We're going to get more guidelines from our union and our district about how to do this online learning gig. But so far, I've connected with about 25 out of 100 10th grade students in those three sections. And then I've also received emails from probably 10 to 15 of that group. And then I've received assignments from many more students, but then some students I haven't heard from in any of those three ways.
What happens if they don't get in touch or you can't connect with them online? I mean, are they absent? Are they how does that work?
No. So we are not actively taking attendance right now. So we're trying to connect with our students in other ways, and we're being very aware of the fact that we no longer have any control over our students' learning environments. We have to be very sensitive to the fact that some students do not have online access, and so we shouldn't be penalizing any of them for that until we have a concerted effort, which I think we're moving toward this week, to get students access who don't have access. So right now, I think we're all in a steep learning curve. This week, if I haven't heard from students either through an assignment submission, a Zoom office hours check-in, or an email, I'm going to start reaching out individually and just checking in to see where they're at. So that's my plan right now.
What about grading? Are you grading kids while this is going on? I mean, I have to ask these questions. I mean, that's school, right? School is attendance and grading and making sure everybody's there.
Yeah. Well, so that's been a shock to the system here. The amount of time it takes me to sort of create my online learning setup so that students can access assignments. They can have a template with my examples in Google Drive. That was really successful when I gave them a first week creative reflection. I created it in Google Docs. I gave my own examples for each of my prompts, and then I attached it through our online portal, and a lot of students were able to respond that way. And it was amazing to hear from them in this very relevant way of how they're doing right now. I use mastery learning and grading, so students are scored on a proficiency scale. It probably sounds familiar to our elementary school teachers like Christy.
Yes.
1 to 4. And so I will be scoring them on that, but right now, my communication, like if I enter a 0 in the grading column, is merely like a communication tool, like heads up, I don't have this from you yet. I will replace your score when I do have this from you. It's just more of a way to try and have some kind of communication.
Like
and
an incomplete.
Correct. And for me, 0 just means no evidence yet. And I need to connect with you. Deadlines are having to be incredibly more flexible for me. So I'm putting up deadlines, but that's more of a like hope. And I have to be very aware that I have no control over how students are able to access their learning right now.
We've heard you guys that schools are going to be closed now for at least the next 5 weeks. There's a good chance, as I mentioned, that they're going to be closed for the rest of the year. How much of a setback do you think this might be for your students, no matter what grade they're in?
Oh, huge. I think it will be a huge setback. And just from my experience with my daughter, I know it's a little bit different for high school kids who are a little more tech savvy. But like for kindergartners and first graders, I can't even imagine how far this is going to set them back. I think it's going to be huge. And I think one of the biggest problems is the inequity of it and how some kids are going to have access to a ton of stuff and some kids are going to have access to nothing.
I want to talk about the possibility that this situation of inequality, the people who don't have internet access at home, there's a language mm-hmm. barrier in many cases, things like that. Hazel, do you see the situation mm-hmm. possibly making it worse because of just the circumstances that were in place before this coronavirus crisis?
Yeah, I think Christy brings up something all of us are thinking about right now. There's some students that are going to be just fine, and they have pretty stable environments at home. They have access. And then there's other students where school was the place that was how we leveled the playing field. And now that we don't have that, we have to figure out other ways to connect with those students. I also think, however, that this time is going to be incredibly rich in other forms of learning, in ways of connecting with our families more deeply. And I think we really need to honor whatever kind of learning our students are going through right now and really shift to how are we taking care of them on a social emotional level? How are we supporting them wherever they are and knowing that we can assess them in a variety of ways? For my students, they don't have to do every single thing necessarily for me to be able to assess them. So I think we all are going to get to practice flexibility and sort of expanding our understanding of what, of all the ways that we're going to learn new things in this time.
I know you both, and this accounts for all teachers across the country. By the way, schools are closed in at least 45 states. Nearly the entire country is not in school today or this week or probably for the next few weeks. This is going on. You can you know, take a snapshot of what's happening here and put that anywhere in the country for the most part. And I want to thank you both for really trying to get through this under pretty difficult circumstances. Hazel Kite Witham teaches English at Venice High School. Christy Collette, who's a third grade teacher in Reseda at Newcastle. Thanks to you both.
Thank you for having me.
Onward now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now off to the OC. Orange County is starting to feel the effects of COVID-19 with at least, at last count, close to 100 cases confirmed in the county. But there's been some confusion about what businesses can stay open, whether people can go to work, if going to local beaches is safe with recommendations of social distancing. It's a Monday, and Gustavo Arellano is here with KCRW's Orange County Line to help us sort it all out. Hi, Gustavo.
Hola, Steve.
So what businesses are still open? Can people still report to work? Last I checked, Orange County's in the state of California, and California has this pretty broad stay-at-home order.
Yeah, no, it's just like the state of California. It's only essential businesses open, restaurants, only for takeout, grocery stores, hospitals, banks, and whatnot. There was confusion, a lot of confusion last week, though, when the health department of Orange County issued this vaguely worded press release that a lot of citizens interpreted as all businesses must be closed immediately. It was so vaguely worded that the following day, members of the Board of Supervisors came out and said, no, actually, business is still as usual. We're following what the state says. Proceed as usual. And then, of course, 24 hours later, you had Governor Newsom saying, nope, we are all closing up for a couple of weeks.
We learned today, Gustavo, that LAUSD, the nation's second largest school district in Los Angeles, will be closed at least until May 1st. Governor Newsom has said that it could be to the end of the year. What about for the Orange County school system?
So let's remember that in Orange County, there's about 30-some different school districts, but they all follow the mandate of the superintendent of Orange County Department of Education, Al Mijares. Last week, he put out a letter saying that he's just going to follow whatever Governor Newsom says on this issue. So if the school's open by the end of May, then they'll open. And he, of course, wants them open sooner rather than later, but he really believes that Governor Newsom is the best person to follow on this issue just because he's the one who has the bigger state in mind instead of just the county of Orange.
Well, let's dig into this stay-at-home order across the state. Public officials have said that people can go outside for exercise, but then there was this concern. I know it was in Los Angeles, certainly in OC, too. There are lots of beaches in Orange County. People went out to those beaches. Laguna Beach Councilman Peter Blake said, quote, I'm really disgusted with all the people who came to Laguna Beach yesterday and put all our lives in jeopardy. So county officials and cities in Orange County are saying, look, you know, you can go outside, but you got to keep your distance.
Look, I understand people feel cooped up, but at the same time, seeing scenes from Huntington Beach, the pier, it was completely packed. Channel 4 News are asking people, hey, what are you folks doing here? And they're saying, oh, it's not going to affect us, and we're not going to let coronavirus affect our way of life, which is, I'm sorry to say, but it's a very Orange County and Malibu way of thinking that, like, reality is not going to set in. But it's bad in Orange County. Public officials are getting upset, and not just public officials, but first responders, the Laguna Beach PD's union, they actually are asking the city council to close all beaches because they view them as a, you know, this is not where the public should be right now. They have other jobs to do, and the last thing they need to do is be patrolling beaches.
I know in Santa Monica and even in the city of LA and Venice, they have closed some parking lots to make sure that people aren't enticed to go to the beaches. So if you shut down the parking lots, you know, and people don't have a place to park, then they're gonna be dissuaded from going to the beach. What else is the county doing, Gustavo, especially when it comes to the homeless, when it comes to housing? I know there were ordinances made in Los Angeles just in the last couple of weeks to avoid any evictions because of failure of payment due to the coronavirus.
So far, the only city that has said anything about housing and evictions has been the city of Santa Ana, which, of course, is one of the poorest cities in Orange County. It's also one of the largest cities in Orange County. But the other cities, so far, they haven't done anything. I don't expect them to do anything. This is the land of free enterprise, of course. When it comes to homeless, though, the Orange County health officials are trying to put homeless folks, just like in L.A., they're trying to put them into motels. They are trying to avert a public health emergency. Hopefully, it's not too late, but they're definitely trying. It's a better response that they have in past years when it comes to the homeless situation.
But is there any official action that the city of Santa Ana is taking about homeless, like getting people tested or making sure that they're quarantined if people do test positive for this virus?
So far, Orange County has been lacking any real sense of urgency when it comes to coronavirus. Hopefully, definitely not like Los Angeles, not like Mayor Garcetti. At least with the city of Santa Ana, all they said is we're not going to evict anyone and we're going to try to put the homeless into motels. But so far, no big push. Hopefully by the end of the week and before it's not too late, they'll do something.
All right. Gustavo Arellano, who writes for the LA Times, and every Monday he's with us on KCRW's Orange County Line. Gustavo, thanks.
Gracias.
Well, that's going to do it for us today. Join us Monday through Thursday at 1 and at 6:30 on KCRW. Always online at kcrw.com/greaterLA. While you're there, we'd love to hear from you, too. How are you doing through this pandemic? Take a deep breath away from other people, for goodness sakes, and share your thoughts with us. kcrw.com/greaterLA. Subscribe to the podcast there as well. We will be there for you every day. Yeah, it's a little scary, the not knowing, but knowledge is the antidote to fear. We're going to give you the knowledge that you need. Jenna Cagle, Rebecca Mooney, Sonia Geis, Phil Richards, Desmond Taylor, Ray Guarna, Danielle Chiriguayo, Amy Ta, Amy Rosen, Mike Newport, and Christian Bordahl all came together, yet far apart, to make this show. And, of course, Mario Saavedra as well. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.